Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was born in Quito, Ecuador, came to America at age 3 with her family, and earned a BBA in Business Administration from Western Michigan University and a Juris Doctor of Law from Detroit College of Law. From 1999 to 2023, she served as a Wayne County Circuit Court judge. And since 2023, she's been the Chief Judge of the 3rd Judicial Circuit of Michigan, which is the largest circuit court in Michigan with 60 judges and 4 operating divisions. Her name? The Honorable Judge Patricia Perez Frizzard, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're with the Honorable Judge Patricia Perez Frizzard, the Chief Judge of the 3rd Judicial Court of Michigan. All rise, Your Honor, the court is in session.
Thank you so much, Jack, for having me. I'm honored.
Can you talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please?
Oh, thank you. I am blessed to have a wonderful mom and dad. My dad just died in 2021, but he was pretty much a well-renowned neurologist. He worked his whole life. He started working in South America and moved to the United States when I was 3 years old, to Detroit, Michigan. And he brought the first EEG machine from Michigan to Ecuador, and we, you know, moved there he implemented that and helped both his country and this country for a long life of he was 93 years old when he died in 2021. My mom is also just a wonderful woman. She was nurturing and supported all of us and brought us to believe, you know, that we should be grateful for all our opportunities in this country, and we felt very well supported. She was a nurse and married my dad. They had 4 daughters in 4 years, and that was one of their incentives to move to this great country that gives opportunity to those daughters. And then they later had a son, my brother Carlos, who became a physician also, and he was born in the United States. He was the only one of the 5 of us siblings who was born in the United States.
Speaking of great countries, tell us a little bit about Ecuador.
Oh, Ecuador is a beautiful country. Many have heard of it or visited to see Galapagos Islands. And it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. It has mountains and waters and the most generous and giving of people. So it was a beautiful place to live. I lived there till I was 3, and then I went back when I was in 4th grade for a year, and have gone back every few years ever since. I have lots of friends and relatives still there.
Speaking of going back, I think the first time you went back, you were in the 4th grade.
Yes.
And the whole family went back to Ecuador for 1 year.
We did.
Why? And what do you remember about that year?
Well, it was a wonderful but very difficult experience, actually, because I could see that my father was very welcomed and adored in that country because he gave so much of himself to his people and to all people. And he worked as a doctor, and it was a very, you know, it's a poor country. So a lot of times we'd be paid in chickens or whatever people had. That was nice. He was a neurologist, so he taught. He had a lot of students that always visited us there. But I do remember that when I was in the United States as a small child, we were taught to assimilate. And so although my parents spoke Spanish, they really never wanted us to speak Spanish at home because they wanted us to assimilate. That made it very difficult to go into 4th grade, not really reading or writing or even not speaking that well in Spanish. So we had to go to school all day and a couple hours at night. And, you know, there's the siestas in Latin American countries, so you're bused home during lunchtime. So it was an incredibly long day, I remember, but such a beautiful country with lots of friends and family that we saw every weekend, something that we weren't used to because we were very isolated to our primary family, you know, in the United States. So it was a wonderful experience.
We're talking to the Honorable Judge Patricia Frizzard, who's also a very accomplished painter. Your Honor, where did you get your love for law?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think it was from my parents in teaching us that not every country is as great as the United States of America, that the United States of America is a country that recognizes the equality of all men and women and gives opportunities. And so with four very, very young daughters, I think they found it important to bring us to a place where we could contribute and be allowed to contribute. And so my parents emphasized to us that the laws and opportunities of the United States were unparalleled in the world, and that we should contribute in the best way that we could. And since I love people, I love to help and work with people and give people opportunities. In my life, I found that the best way that I could do that is to support the laws of this country by becoming an attorney and by helping others to be heard and to be recognized and to be treated equally under the laws of the country.
Former Mayor Dennis Archer once told me that the profession of law is a calling. Really?
It's absolutely a calling. I can recall the very first time I ever walked into a courtroom, and I was called. I felt that this is a room and a place and its grandeur that can give an opportunity, an equal opportunity to be heard to all. And really, true justice is to be had here, and I would love to be here to help implement equal justice for all. That's what I wanted to do for a living.
I believe that many of our listeners remember the first time they've ever walked into a courtroom, too. But that's a little bit different. So we're talking to the Honorable Judge Patricia Perez Frizzard, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm host Jack Prisullo, and we're with the Honorable Judge Patricia Perez Frizzard. Your Honor, from 1987 to 1999, you worked for prosecutor Carol Malinga, prosecuting crimes of sexual abuse of children. Talk about that chapter of your life.
It was an absolutely amazing experience working for Carol Malinga. He was, I think he started in 82 or 84, and I had heard that he was a wonderful man, ran a great office, and that he hired the first African-American prosecutors in history of the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office. I applied as an intern in 1987 as a law student, and then was hired also as an attorney as soon as I passed the bar. And I remember that he told us that your job as prosecuting attorneys is not to win a case, but to see that justice is done. And that's how he treated everyone at the office, that as long as you had integrity and you were doing what is right, you would never be reprimanded for losing a case. And that's because sometimes in our criminal justice system, we get it wrong, or lots of people get it wrong. And to guide a case towards justice is what we were taught to do in that office.
Your Honor, how prevalent are crimes of sexual abuse of children today?
Unfortunately, Jack, children are our most vulnerable, and for that reason, there are a lot of deviant people, and very unfortunately, tiny fraction of sexual assault against children is ever brought to the court system or really ever reported, because most instances are committed by people who are very close to the child, family members or friends. And so to be able to take those cases that are brought to the court system and to ensure that the child feels safe and they feel heard and that their case is brought to justice is, I felt, very honored to be able to do that, and an immense responsibility.
You've heard a lot of cases. You've seen a lot of moms very sad in the courtroom. But you've also had to see some miracles of transformation from that low position, that awful thing, to what the person's become today. You want to share one or two of those stories with us?
Thank you, Jack. First of all, you know, comes to mind, because you are talking about sexual assault cases, I had a very young woman who was charging that she was prosecuting a case that she was working at a gym, and her, I guess, her boss and instructor at the gym had raped her. And it was such a very, very difficult case because she was young. She was an immigrant. I think from Greece. She was very timid. She was very afraid to testify, and she was a virgin. She had been hurt. It had happened, shockingly, in the back room of a very open space, though, where a lot of people were there. She ran out when this incident happened, when she was raped, and was crying. And at the trial, the way that victims of crime are cross-examined about recalling exact circumstances, about that an assault was consensual because they knew the person, all kinds of things like that. It was one of my first cases, and it was horrific to me. I could not have imagined at her age ever having the courage to do that. And to see that courage in her, and to see that courage carried her to, to do great things later on in her life is something that really gave me a lot of incentive to keep on going with cases like that. So I think that was an important case. There's many cases. I think one of the big cases in the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office was a case against a man named John Lemnicki. And he was thought by all to be a nice person. He taught school. He was a teacher. He had a lot of political friends in Macomb County, commissioners and people like that. He was a catechism teacher at a church, and he was well known in the community. And yet, at the end of the day, he was found guilty of serious, very, very serious, horrendous sexual abuse of a child who, again, had so much courage to come forward. She came forward when she was 21 years old, and she had her first daughter, and she said, to be a good mother to my daughter, I have to step forward and bring forth allegations that my mother did not protect me from. And in hearing her story, I thought her mother must be a horrible person. But actually, her mother was someone who really could not believe that this man, who gave them a free car, who offered her free math tutoring, who was a neighbor and seemingly a friend, had done these things, and that they could have happened under her roof without her knowledge. And she was just in a huge amount of denial. And for that reason, the child stopped talking. But when it got brought to prosecution, at his sentencing, 50 adults were sitting there in the courtroom supporting her in that they had their own allegations of sexual abuse not ever brought to the courts when they were children.
Wow. We're talking to the Honorable Judge Patricia Perez-Frizard. If you want to learn more, www.3rd, 3rdcc.org. Let's talk about the brilliance of our founding fathers. There's 27 amendments in the U.S. Constitution. Your Honor, which is your favorite?
Well, you know, in thinking about that question, I love all of them because I love this country and I love the freedoms it affords. And I'll have to say that thinking of it that way, the first is the most inclusive in that it includes our freedom of religion, speech, the press, assembly, and petition. And so the Bill of Rights and the freedoms that this country affords us could not be more important. The brilliance of our founders here in this country brings to mind the fact that those founders recognized not only that all men are created equal, but that to govern the people, and they have to derive their power from the consent of the governed. And so for that, with that reasoning, they were able to put together the all of these amendments that bring and have brought through history the freedoms and the strength of this country.
We're talking to the Honorable Judge Patricia Perez Frizard. And through the years, Your Honor, I've asked a lot of judges on this show which judge they most admire.
Oh, my goodness.
When we come back, we'll talk about that judge. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with the Honorable Judge Patricia Perez Frizard. From 1999 to 2023, she served as a Wayne County Circuit Judge, and today she's the Chief Judge of the 3rd Judicial Circuit in Michigan. Every judge that I talk to raves about the late, great Judge Damon Keith. Please.
So, you know, I was honored and blessed to meet Damon Keith at one of his soul food luncheons, and that was near the time of his death, and he was as inspiring then as he was on paper, because I only really got to meet him once or twice. But to know that a person from his background, I think he was one of 7 children and the youngest and the first to go to college, and you know, the reading about him and the difficulties that he had in becoming an attorney and becoming the judge that he was inspiring. But beyond that, the courage that he has, I think, is the most impactful thing. The courage that he had in the time that he became a judge to defy what others believed, and to ensure that the civil rights of all were recognized is something that, I mean, he's one of our own. He's from Detroit. He's assisted so many people from the community, but also he's been generous. And I know that a few of our judges even got to a clerk for Judge Damon Keith, and I believe Judge Ewell, and I think Linda Parker, who later went to the federal court. And so we could hear a lot of inspiring stories, but certainly the support for all of the people, and especially those with lesser means, and ensuring that they are recognized as equal is a legacy that no one could show a greater example of than Judge Damon Keith. We're very proud.
We're talking to the Honorable Judge Patricia Perez Frizard. Let's go back 25 years, Your Honor. Seems like only yesterday. It's 1999, and you decide to go to the other side of the bench. For years, you were on this side of the bench as a lawyer.
Yes.
And then you go on the other side. Why?
Yes. Well, for one thing, my father taught us that you should aspire to give your greatest gifts and to have the perseverance to keep moving forward in serving to the best of your ability. And so I could see that serving to the best of my ability had to be to move forward after prosecuting so many crimes against vulnerable women and vulnerable children. I saw that some of them were in 1998 and before that not treated so equally under the law. And one example is that a small child was sexually abused by a person in her own household, and she was found to be a competent witness. She was very intelligent and very competent as a witness. But when she came to court and had to testify with the assailant right in front of her, she was extremely nervous and extremely fearful, and she showed it by wiggling in her chair and spinning in her chair. I'm sitting in a chair right now where you can spin, and she was spinning and moving her legs. And a judge who was overseeing that case asked her to stop moving in her chair, and she tried to, and she stopped. But when the questions got tough, she started wiggling her legs and spinning in her chair, and he said, "Stop. I'm stopping this trial. This witness has the attention span of a toothpick. This case is dismissed." And when you have a jury impaneled and you have the middle of a case going, jeopardy attaches, and if a case is dismissed by the judge, you cannot retry the person for that crime. And unfortunately, the person went scot-free because of the impatience of one judge. And I was determined at that time to run for judge and become a judge. And I oversaw over 500 cases in our criminal division. And so for that, I'm grateful.
All right. What do all great judges, Your Honor, have in common?
All great judges have in common the resources and ability to do their job, the integrity to do their job right, and the humility to realize that none of us is perfect, none of us knows everything, and we need to set aside and recognize our biases, our prejudices, our impatience, anything standing in our way of finding true justice and equal justice for every person in every case.
Judge Fred Mester, many years ago, said to me, "Jack, Socrates believed that a great judge had four traits: hear courteously, consider soberly, answer wisely, decide impartially."
Excellent. Well said by Judge Mester.
All right, let's talk about the various levels of our court system, specifically in Michigan, if you would.
You know, as far as levels, we first look at the district courts or municipal courts in our cities, where the traffic cases, the lower level cases go, and even the capital cases first go there for preliminary exams to see if they're bound over to circuit court. So in criminal court, the felonies are bound over to circuit court, and in civil cases, you can bring cases to the civil court in district court if it's under $25,000, and if in circuit court if it's over $25,000. And in our circuit court where I work, we have four divisions. And our divisions are the criminal division, the civil division, the juvenile division, and the family division. And all of those divisions can be appealed to the higher court, the Court of Appeals of Michigan. And the Court of Appeals has panels that could review the cases of the circuit court, and then our Michigan Supreme Court reviews the cases of the Court of Appeals. But in the court that we work in, we have not only four divisions, but four buildings, 59 judges, and about 600 employees.
We're talking to the Honorable Patricia Perez Brizard. Any listeners saying, wow, this is one special lady, you don't know the half of it. This is the first Hispanic female judge in Wayne County, Michigan history. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club, developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember...
Anything.
I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible. And with the Honorable Patricia Perez Frizard, the Chief Judge of the Third Judicial Circuit of Michigan, which is the largest circuit court in Michigan, 60 judges, 4 operating divisions, has jurisdiction over civil, criminal, family matters arising in the county of Wayne. Your Honor. I quote you now. I have dedicated my career to equal justice and to honoring the right to be heard of all who appear before me.
Yes, I am honored to have been able to work with so many great judges, so many great colleagues, so many great team members in our court. Because service to our community could not be more important at this time. And our court is very dedicated to keeping the courtroom doors open, to hiring great and dedicated public servants who are willing to do all that we can to assist everyone. Nowadays, with technologies, you might have heard there are a lot of cases that are handled remotely and also a lot of cases that are handled in person. And the filing of cases and the going through the court system is very difficult for many people. And I see people every day who walk into our courthouse who say that they have had difficulty maybe attaining an attorney, and so they're pro se, they're handling their own case. And we are so proud in our court to have a self-help center that has served over 7,000 people. We have a pro bono services. We partner very closely with the Detroit Bar Association in helping everyone in our community, no matter who they are or what funding they have, to get the best and equal service and to be heard by our courts and to have justice served for their case.
You're a servant leader.
Yes.
And as such, you're leading 60 judges, 600 team members. Talk about your team.
Well, you know, Jack, that's really interesting that you asked that, because I really never aspired to be the chief judge. I was supported by prior chief judges, Judge Colombo, who was our chief judge, and Chief Judge Kenny, and they encouraged me to take on this responsibility because they knew how passionate I am about equal justice for all. And one of the important things I learned in taking on the responsibility when they asked me to apply for chief judge is that none of us can in any way impact a whole court like this singularly as one person. You need a team, and you need a talented team, you need a dedicated team, and you need a team, like you say, of servant leaders. And so I have been so fortunate in that I became the chief right after COVID. So a lot of retirements, you know, the great resign was upon us. And we had so many resignations and retirements and changes that had to be made. And so I was so fortunate to be able to have and hire a brand new court administrator, Frank Hardister, general counsel, Margaret Flanagan, Nikki Wright as our human resources director, Mike Scott as our very first public communications director, who is helping us to communicate to the community our availability and our service to them, and lots of other people. Nancy Hames, our case processing, Jan Hiller, our security director. I mean, I could go on and on, but I am just one of a big group and team of very talented and very dedicated public servants.
We're talking to the Honorable Patricia Perez Frizzard. If you want to learn more, www.3rdcc.org. Her budget is $159 million. Let's talk about your core values, LEAD, leadership, excellence, accountability, diversity. Please, Your Honor.
Well, thank you. I'm very blessed to be in the most diverse court in our state, the busiest court in our state. We handle 3 to 4 times the cases of any other court in the state of Michigan. And to be, as I said, partners with so many great leaders of such integrity and such dedication. One of the things I think that I find remarkable about the people that I work with is their dedication to serve the community and their volunteerism. So our court is one that when I joined, I saw that there were so many people dedicated to help those beyond even their jobs. So, for instance, Judge Kenny assigned me as the first presiding judge over the drug court. And I recognized, Jack, in some of the interviews that you have done before, some of the other people that you have interviewed, that you've interviewed people who have touched our court with their dedication. For instance, Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. I heard that interview and recognized that he worked with one of the first greats that I ever worked with, which is Calvin Trent, on the issue of assisting people whose lives were unfortunately changed by addiction, and to find and to see that those people, once given an opportunity, once recognized for the goodness in them and not their mistakes, many of them come out of our drug court to be very successful and very dedicated citizens, just like Andre Johnson described himself as, someone who had been addicted to drugs, who had been in a life of crime, but came out of it to help. Andre and Calvin Trent, his mentor, have served thousands and thousands in the Detroit area. And those are the kind of people I admire. And I want to tell you, you mentioned, you know, my art and my my goal is beyond what I do in law, also to dedicate, you know, my interests and gifts and passions to also help others. So I wanted to show you a sample of a painting that I did that I gave to someone who retired from our court, who has dedicated herself so much to our court, And that's Lynn Roberts. She was our CFO, and she's an amazing person and such a giving person. And she still works with us on contract. But I painted a painting and gave it to her of the spirit of Detroit. And I just borrowed it from her yesterday, actually, and brought it to show you, because I hope to paint this for the Archer Award that is coming up November 17th and 14th. And to make a bigger one of it for the Detroit Bar for the Archer Award, because that is dedicated to the Archer Award and was, you know, as you know, named after Mayor Archer, who will be there and introduce me at the Archer Award. And his dedication and our dedication is to service of justice. So all the proceeds of the Archer Award are going to help the pro bono services and the community services. And so what I would like for my future when I retire, and even now, is to paint and to donate paintings to all causes in our community that benefit equal justice for people in our community.
Your Honor, once again, you're being far too humble. Okay, you say, I like to paint. That's like Michael Jordan say, I like to play basketball. When you walk into her home, it's like an art museum. Okay, in cupboards, in the pantries, by the kitchen. It's loaded with paintings. Where did you get your love for painting, Your Honor?
You know, my dad, although he was a physician, and he definitely wanted a profession for me, he had a great love of painting and introduced me personally to three or four of the greatest artists in Ecuador. And we went to their homes and bought paintings from them directly. He supported the arts. He loved the arts. And he always told me that no matter what my profession is, do not give up your desire to be an artist. Because I actually told him when I was a small child that I wanted to be an artist. And he said, the problem with being only an artist in your life is that then you are dependent on that art for money. And the best way to serve the public is something that is where you can have a profession, but you can also paint and dedicate what you would like of your painting to your community. So I also had a minor that in art from Wayne State University after I became an attorney. And so I've just worked on and off between raising three kids and my law career. I spend most of my spare time that is on myself on my art.
Your whole life has been a beautiful painting. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.